Good morning, everyone. We have been the past couple of Sundays going through a series regarding the cross. And so we have been looking at different shades of meaning and understandings of the cross that sometimes get lost in the overfamiliarity of the cross itself. And so I hope that it has been helpful for all of us. This morning we're going to be talking about the revolution of worship, and we're going to be looking at John chapter 12, verses 27 to, we'll actually take it to 32 to begin. John chapter 12, 27 to 32 to start off with. Jesus says this, "Now is my soul troubled? And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This is God's word. We want to think about worship. We want to think about Jesus. We want to think about the cross. And why don't we begin by this first point, that as we think about the bigger picture of God's story that we find from every page of the Bible, from Genesis, the first book, to Revelation, the very end. When we think about worship, we often think it's a place where we go to. It's a building like this. But I want us to think that worship is not limited to a specific building, time, space, or place. But when we think about the bigger story of Scripture, we begin here, that the world, earth, is God's cosmic temple. This is something that growing up, I never really thought about or put this together. I always assumed that worship took place in church or building, or maybe if you have a small group Bible study in someone's home. But the idea that when God created this world, he created it as his temple that he created for people to experience him in his beauty, in his power, in his glory. And think of Eden, this garden that we read about in the early pages of the Bible, as the center part of his temple, the Holy of Holies, for those that understand that part of the temple that would come later. And God places human beings in his temple to serve as his image bearers, to show the world what God's heart is like. And so take a moment to let that sink in, that the temple or this holy place that we often go, or church or building we often associate as a place where we go to worship, but when we go home, then we're done with worship. But think of the whole world as God's temple, and Eden, this garden, as central to his temple. That will begin to shift your mindset and understanding, and then we'll relate it back to the cross. I do believe that is a correct understanding of how our world is in terms of God's plan and purposes. The world is God's cosmic temple where we experience him, where we get to know him, where we see his character, his heart, his glory, and Eden, this garden, as the center part of the temple. But we all know what happened, that we did not want God to remain as king. We wanted to rather make our own decisions and choices. And we know that because of our rebellion, our sin, our lack of trust of God, we know that what happened was that in the beginning, this idea of heaven and earth being one place, overlapping in a perfect way, is how we understand God's original intentions and purposes. But after Genesis 3, heaven and earth have now separated. You can go to the next slide. And we're referring a little bit back to what we went over last summer in the Bible Project. And so what started off as one, that God dwelt with humankind before there was sin, before the rebellion. Heaven and earth were seen. Earth was God's temple. But once sin entered the picture, that no longer was feasible. Heaven and earth could not coexist as one. And so there was a separation. And we see that outlined for us in Genesis 3. God being a God who is gracious, a God of new opportunities and new chances, doesn't just give up on humanity. He doesn't give up on us. And he chooses one nation, the nation of Israel, to give them a second opportunity. And it's fascinating that when you look at the story of Israel, that it parallels going back to the garden. The Israelites given an opportunity to once again be God's people, his covenant people. And yet, as we have talked about these past couple of weeks, how they continued to rebel and fail against God's commands and desires. God had every right to leave us and keep it separate. But he chose not to do that out of his love, out of his mercy, and knowing what we needed. And so he allowed spaces, places where heaven and earth could once again overlap. And so secondly, temples were the overlapping spaces of heaven and earth. So once again, Genesis 1, the world is God's cosmic temple. Heaven and earth were united, were one. And we read of how wonderful, how beautiful that was. Sin separated it. God could have left us like that. But he allowed, by his love and grace, to still allow us to experience him and therefore temples, whether it was the tabernacle, this tent-like structure during the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites, to allow heaven and earth to intersect once again, that we could experience his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his guidance, his relationship to us, or later, under King Solomon, his temple. But keep this in mind as we think about us trying to build this understanding up to the cross. Heaven and earth were one. Through sin, they could not coexist. But God in his mercy and grace allowed us a space, a place, a time that we could still meet with him, and that was at the temple or the tabernacle during the wanderings. Exodus 29, listen to God's heart. Verse 43, there I will meet with people, with the people of Israel, and they shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, Aaron also and his sons. I will consecrate to serve me as priest. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Can you see God's heart, his bleeding heart of how much he loves us and wants to be with us? The word dwell, you see there, I want to meet with my people. I will dwell among them. But because of our sin, our rebellion, our choosing what is right or wrong in our own eyes, there was a separation. But God in his grace and love allowed there to be a space and a place where we could still meet with our Creator, our God, our King. And that was the temple. Here we have his heart coming out. But temples, the tabernacle, animal sacrifices, we know we're only a temporary solution to reunite God to us, heaven and earth. But the permanent solution was coming, and that was Jesus. Jesus, thirdly, is the living temple where heaven and earth now overlap in him. Growing up, I really didn't put these things together. But as we think about the larger story, going back to Genesis and tracing the story of Scripture, it begins to have a much more fuller, compelling understanding. Jesus is the living temple where heaven and earth now overlap in a person. John 1:14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt. Some translations, he tabernacled with us. Literally, it means to set up and pitch his tent right in our neighborhood. To set up his tent. Literally, to dwell, to set up shop, his home, right where we're at, in order to dwell with us. It's the same word and the same understanding that we have in the Old Testament and the same heart of God that we saw in Eden. He desired to dwell with us. From the garden to the tabernacle to the temple, to the person of Jesus Christ. Made his dwelling that we see in John intentionally connects to Exodus 29, where we are reminded, God says, "I will dwell among the people of Israel and be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might once again dwell with and among them." John chapter 2, Jesus, you could not get it more clear than this. John chapter 2, 18 to 21. "So the Jews asked them, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?' Jesus answered, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' The Jews then said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple.'" This is the second temple after Solomon's temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. "'And I will raise you up in 3 days?' But he was speaking about the temple of his body. As we begin to think about how can we understand the cross in light of the larger story of Scripture, and we've talked about this when we went through the series, that the final goal is not just going to heaven when we die. The final goal, as we follow the storyline of Scripture, is new creation. A rejoining of heaven and earth once again, as we saw it in the beginning of Genesis in Eden, when our world was God's cosmic temple, where he dwelt among his people. The whole point of the story of Scripture, the story of redemption, is that God's heavenly kingdom has now become an earthly reality in the person of Jesus. The kingdom of God is at Though we're familiar with some of this understanding, I believe this is critically important for us as we think about the cross. I think, a better understanding as we begin to ask ourselves the meaning of the cross in light of God's greater story is this picture here that we see, that through the cross of Jesus, we have a reuniting of God's kingdom and our world together. In that middle section, where Jesus rules and reigns and invites us into his kingdom, helps us understand the work of the cross and his desires and hopes and dreams for our lives. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 19:28. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." In other words, last summer we looked at this, that God is on a mission to heal that rift and bring heaven and earth, next slide, heaven and earth back together. And so, to the degree that the whole storyline of the Bible is not about escaping the material world and going to a spiritual, non-material world, that's not the Bible or Christianity at all. The hope is of the resurrection into a new physical world. Growing up, I've appreciated the way in which I was discipled and trained in understanding the gospel and sharing my faith through evangelism. And like so many of us who were trained in evangelism, especially through the four spiritual laws and the famous bridge illustration, that as soon as I put this up, you will definitely see it. The wage of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Where are you? Which side of the bridge are you? So goes the evangelism explanation. Jesus is our bridge to leave our old lives and begin anew. Is anyone familiar with the bridge illustration? You could probably explain it better than me. We all get it. And I'm not out here to bash it. I'm not out here to say this is unbiblical. I have shared this for decades in my life. But where I think we can have a fuller understanding in light of what we're talking about this morning, the danger of this is that we can fall into an escapism. Let's leave this life, let's leave this world, and everyone get to heaven. Is that what Jesus is talking about? And is that the storyline of Scripture as we go back to Genesis? I'm not saying this is unbiblical. I'm not saying it's wrong. God has used it in my own life. I've used it to bring many people into a saving knowledge of Christ. Yes, but is that the best way to understand what we're trying to cover? And I think as we begin to go back to Genesis, follow the story of Israel, I believe a better understanding is what we've been talking about. That through sin, heaven and earth have separated. God created this world to be the place where he perfectly indwelt. He fellowshiped with us. We had a relationship with him, unhindered by sin. But because of sin and our rebellion, because of evil and choosing our own way, they could not coexist. But God in his grace would allow us to experience a taste of heaven, his goodness, his power, his beauty, his grace in the tabernacle, in the temple, all pointing forward to the person of Jesus. Why this is so important is that the cross is not just the means to leave this world and get to heaven, but the cross of Jesus Christ is, through him, a reuniting of heaven and earth together, just like it was in the garden. It is not the means for us just to get to heaven. But when you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, it is a way by which heaven and earth are being reunited once again. Revelation 21 reminds us, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" The picture is a reuniting. You could put up the next picture. Help us envision this. A reuniting of heaven and earth together in the person of Jesus Christ. Fifthly and finally, then, what does that mean for us, for you and I? Followers of Jesus are now the stones in a living, a new living temple. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 reminds us, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You are the temple of God. It's no longer in a building or a tent. God's presence now is manifested in you when Jesus dwells within your body, your being, your heart, your mind. We see throughout the Bible God's passion and plan to once again reunite heaven and earth together as it once was back in Eden. And when Jesus returns, as his kingdom continues to expand, as this overlap continues to take place, as God's kingdom grows one heart at a time, as people submit to King Jesus, God and man will once again fully coexist in the same realm. Heaven and earth will be reunited as one. And so some guys got so excited, he even tattooed this illustration. "Tattoo the kingdom, bro." I'm not going to do that. But I thought that was really interesting, as he was so excited of beginning to understand a broader perspective, taking into account the entire story of Scripture in trying to understand Jesus and the cross. In our Sunday school class, our foundation class that we've been doing last week, I believe it was, as we began to discuss this in the kingdom of God, it was really interesting. I thought this was very helpful, that growing up, a lot of us would sing that song, "This world is not my home. This world is not my home." I think in so many ways that is reflective of this idea that we're just going to escape out of here and get as many people to heaven as possible. But the song that really emerged as we were discussing in our Sunday school class, not so much "this world is not my home," but "this is my Father's world." The cross of Jesus isn't just about going to heaven, but it's a reuniting of heaven and earth in the person of Jesus. That's what he meant when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The cross has opened the door for true worship for all people everywhere, because our greatest need is to once again live under the reign and rule of the proper king, which is Jesus. And as we look to the cross and see the ultimate demonstration of self-giving love that drives us, it melts us, it transforms us to living a life of worship as we serve him. And as we ended our last series with the question, if this is true, and if we are now part of God's kingdom, if we understand that heaven and earth are being reunited in the person of Jesus, How are you serving him? How are you loving him? How are you giving your life away as Jesus did for us? What is your ministry? If you find yourself maybe a bit agitated because, is Pastor preaching the Bible? If you're finding yourselves, that's not the way I understood it growing up, then good. We're beginning to help us begin to be open to understanding, I believe, the cross and the work of Christ in ways that I believe embrace a fuller picture of the story of the gospel as we take in the full story of redemption, the full story of God's kingdom, as we look back to Genesis and trace the storyline of Scripture to the cross of Jesus Christ.